Today's public reading of God's Word is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, this morning. Please turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. I'm going to read just the first 8 verses here this morning. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 1 to 8. And it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. So here we're told that Jesus went throughout all of Judea, all of Galilee, preaching. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, of whom went out 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away, because it lacked moisture. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. Others fell on good ground, and sprang up, and bore fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Please be seated, and may God choose to bless this word. There are some today who would take the position that Christianity is a male chauvinist religion because in Christianity, women are to be in subjection to their husbands as if these women have no rights to themselves, have no personal property of their own. And their only position in life is to gratify another man's desires, hopes, and dreams. Well, beloved, there are some within the Christian wider tent that take that misinterpretation of a man's position and his role in the home more as a tyrant than a benevolent dictator. Okay? That women are a second-class citizen, they have no rights, they have no access to property. And when it comes to the church, women are simply to keep a pew warm and take care of the potluck dinner. And that's the further extent that women have in the ministry. Well, beloved, I'm here to tell you that when you read about church history, you will find that there have been many women of faith who were giants of the faith. One classic example would be Susanna Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley. Now, they had a much larger family, but the majority of the Wesley family, Susanna Wesley, who raised these children while her husband was a circuit rider preacher and spent probably more time away from home than in the home, she made it her duty, her diligent duty, to raise all of her children in the fear of God. And what was the end result? Many of them became lawyers, judges, and preachers of the gospel. So women have played a vital role in Christianity, and I want that firmly understood. But in the early days of the movement, look how vital women were to Jesus. If you think women have no place in the church, or they have no contribution to be made, then you're a fool. It came to pass afterward that he, Jesus, went throughout every city and village. That's what your text tells you, every city and village. Preaching and showing the glad tidings or the good news of the gospel of the kingdom, and the 12 were with him. But not just the 12. And beloved, guess what? What you're about to read in verses 2 is only found in Luke's gospel. It's only found in Luke's gospel where the spotlight is cast not on the 12 now, but on a handful of dedicated women. Certain women which had been healed, or a certain woman, healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. So one of the female companions, not a mistress, but a companion of this early church, was Mary Magdalene. And then not only that, notice this, Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's steward. Now, most Christians read that and they press on. You know what the implication is? This Joanna was a woman of what? A woman of means. Her husband was the personal steward of King Herod Antipas, the son of King Herod the Great. Beloved, how close to a Herod can you get? Here's a wife whose husband is the personal steward of King Herod Antipas, the one who would later kill John the Baptist. Jesus had some connections. Women with connections. And Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their what? Substance. Now, women may feel that they don't have a glamorous role in the church, like being a pastor or an elder or a bishop. But beloved, there are other things that the church needs from women of the faith. Women have much to contribute towards the gospel. Many missionaries that went overseas in the 17th and 18th and 19th century were women. Women have played a vital role in Christianity. Just read church history. We've had great women of the faith who gave up their life for the faith, like Perpetua, a woman of means, a woman from a rich aristocratic family, went to the arena and died along with her slave in the arena. I think we need to, this was needed to be brought out in the way some people view women in the church. Women played a vital role in the life and ministry of Christ. That's to be clearly understood. Well, now we enter into Luke's gospel, where Luke will give us now the rendering of the parable of the sower. And all I'm going to do today, because of time, is to introduce to you the parable. And then we're going to get into the interpretation in the following readings. Jesus likens the world to a field. The hearts of men are like a field. And when a farmer goes out to plant in his field, he had a basket full of whatever seed it was, and he would take a handful of that seed and just simply toss it over his head, and it would fall on a freshly plowed field. And then the seed would get into the ground, and then with the sunshine and with ample rainfall, eventually there would be germination. The seed would come alive, right? And then whatever was planted in the ground would eventually come up out of the ground, and then you would have a field of whatever, wheat, flax, corn, whatever. And then at the end of the year, what would you do? You would go out and gather the fruit. All that work that the farmer did will now pay off at the end of that season when he goes out to harvest and brings it home. Well, that's how Jesus likens mankind. Well, like a field. And notice, there's only four illustrations that are here given. The first one is found in verse 5, the wayside hearer. Okay, now the farmer has to walk on something to get out to his field, and there would be a certain pathway. And over time, as the farmer would walk continually on that same pathway, the ground would then get packed, and it would get very hard, okay? And it was not cultivated. It was simply a pathway, like a small sidewalk, if you will. Well, some of the seed would inadvertently fall on that pathway. And what are we told? The fowls of the air would come and simply steal or rob or then devour the seed. So that seed that fell on that hard soil never germinated, and it never produced anything. It was simply stolen or devoured by the birds. Verse 6, some fell on a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Now notice here, it falls on soil. As you compare the other synoptics, you will find out that there was just enough dirt for the seed to germinate. But as soon as the roots went a little further, it came in contact with the rocks. And since it was very close to the surface of the soil, the rocks absorbed the sunlight, which caused the rocks to get warm, which in turn burned and destroyed the roots, and therefore the plant would quickly germinate, and then it would die. Quickly die. Now, beloved, that is very key to the second ground hearer. Very, very important. And we'll bring that out eventually. Verse 7, some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. So here you have weeds and thistles. You have a lot of things that were obstructing the seed from even germinating, from ever producing anything. So notice, so far, according to this parable, three out of the three so far bear nothing. They bear no fruit. And that leads to an important conclusion, which we will eventually see. And then finally, verse 8, here we have a winner. Another fell on good ground, sprang up and bore fruit 100-fold. So notice in this case, this is the only one out of four, that actually bears any result, that bears any fruit. And when Jesus had said these things, he cried. And then Jesus lets loose with a statement that is found quite often from his lips. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And so the question here this morning is, do you have ears to hear? Now Jesus here was not implying a physical handicap, that he was talking to a bunch of people who were all deaf and dumb, or they failed to change the battery to their hearing aid. That's not the point here. That's not the issue. He's talking to people who really heard him verbally. He's asking whether or not they understood what he was saying. See, it's one thing just to hear. It's a whole world difference to hear, to understand, and then to act accordingly. Big difference as night is separated from day and day from night. Well, may God choose to bless his word.